So we are going to start off in Luke chapter 5, but we're going to cover a lot of the New Testament this morning. A few different passages. So I just entitled the message Prayer 101. Just looking at what are some key principles that are part of a good, healthy prayer life, all right? So we finished up the Advent series on last Sunday, right? Did it Christmas Eve, and then last Sunday. Talked about the second coming of Christ, so that's what Donovan was talking about. So Advent means his coming, so he came the first time as a babe, lived amongst us, and then we look forward to his second coming when he comes for his church. So that was last week. You can catch those online if you'd missed them. All right, and so today's emphasis is on prayer as we begin 2026. All right, what are some key passages on prayer in the Bible, and how can we make this practice a daily part of our daily life, all right? I think prayer is one of the things we talk about often but do not as much as we would like to, okay? And I just, there's some people that are just real diligent. We talked about Anna and Simeon, right? They were part of Jesus' story. They were in the temple, and they just prayed there pretty much day and night, and I think, wow, just to have a life of prayer like that is pretty incredible. And so this is something that challenges me as well, okay? I've shared with some people that I find the study of God's word a little bit easier for me than the prayer time. And then there's some people that find the prayer time a much easier practice in their life than getting into God's word, okay? And I think some of that's just based upon how you are wired and your personality and things like that. But what I will say is that prayer needs to be part of each of our lives, right? It needs to be woven in there, okay? So let's begin with the word of prayer and then look at these passages together. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the word of God. And we just pray that it is comes alive to us today. It is quick, it is powerful, it is able to guide and direct us and help us to become who you've called us to be in Christ. And so, Lord God, in these moments we have, make it come alive. We ask it in your name. Amen. Luke chapter 5, verse 16. And so Luke is recording this. He calls, if you look at chapter 5 in your Bible, you'll see that he calls his disciples, the first 12 there. He heals a man with leprosy. That's pretty cool, right? He forgives him and heals a man that is paralyzed. That's pretty cool. He eats with sinners, all right? But in this verse 16, it's just this isolated verse. It's part of a section. It's part of Jesus heals a man with leprosy. And he says that in verse 15, the news about him spreads more and more. The crowds come to hear him. Of course, the healings are happening, and people are healed of sickness. And then it says in verse 16, but Jesus often withdrew to what? Lonely places, and he prayed. All right. And what we see here is we don't know how often is. How often is often? We don't know. But Luke says he often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And it almost, that he includes it there, almost makes it that he's trying to make a point that the ministry that flowed out of the life of Jesus flowed out of his life of prayer. All right? And today we want to see miracles. How many want to see miracles? Yeah. How many want to see God do some great things? But if the prayer life isn't there, I think that's important that it's not going to be as effective and as what we would like it to be, right? And we sometimes look in America, and I hear this a lot in America, why don't we see the miracles that we sometimes see in other places of the world? I think that sometimes we depend upon what we have in America, whether it's the science, the medicine, the finances, and in some countries they don't have those things like we do. And they have a greater dependence on God, they seek God. I think ministry, I believe, you look throughout Scripture, ministry flows out of our connection with God. John will record that Jesus would do what he saw his Father doing. So he wasn't seeing it physically, but it was in his life of prayer. He had that sense of direction, and this is where I want you to go, and this is what I want you to do. And he was the Son of God, but he was also fully human. Okay, and so he relied upon the Holy Spirit to not only give him the power to heal and to see miracles take place, but he relied on the Holy Spirit to also guide and direct his life, just like you and I. Okay, and I think that's important because otherwise we can say, well, Jesus, he could do that because he was the Son of God and he was God, right? We're just human. No, Jesus was fully human. He's also fully God, but he set aside some of those things so that he could be fully human, all right? And so I believe his ministry and all that flowed out of his life of prayer. So how often is often? If you go to Luke chapter 22, so same gospel, just a little bit further down the line, it's the night that Jesus is betrayed, okay? And so he shows up in Jerusalem that week. It is Passover week. He does festivities with his disciples. Thursday night, they have the big meal, Passover meal. He's there with his disciples. He breaks bread. It's the first time we call it the Lord's Supper. He breaks the bread. He has the grape juice. He says, we won't do this again until we're in my Father's kingdom. All right, and then after that, they go out to the Mount of Olives, it's called. So 22 verse 39 says, Jesus went out as, what's that word? Usual. To the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him as usual. So it was something that Jesus did often, and it was part of his daily routine. It seems and appears that when he was in Jerusalem, he would go out there and have times of prayer on the Mount of Olives. It was quiet, it was secluded there, it was peaceful, it was a time where he could go out and connect and have fellowship with God. But Luke describes it as his usual practice. So when people look at your life, what do they say is usual for you? Especially when it comes to your prayer life. Is it like a shotgun approach? Hit and miss? Is it very consistent at a certain time? Is it there? What is usual for you? For Jesus, it was part of his daily life and is described as he did it often and he did it. It was part of his usual practice and his daily routine. I think prayer is not something we should do just when we're in a jam, okay? And those things happen, emergencies happen, life happens, and those are definitely times that we should pray, right? But if that's the only time that we do come to God, then there's no relationship there. It's kind of like we're just showing up like the unwelcome relative, right? It's kind of like, hey, we're here, God, you know? And we some of you relate to that. All right. We show up, but we don't know God, right? It's much different if we've been walking with God day in and day out, and we show up and say, God, hey, this happened. And we have that relationship in place. It leads to other things that we're going to talk about here. We are creatures of habit, right? And often we have habits we don't like, unfortunately. And those habits always are hard to break, right? It's kind of like, you know, we have habits in our life that we don't want to do, and we do them. And then there's things that we want to do, and it's like it takes a while to get there. It takes at least 30 days to get a good habit going. Take it, great book, Atomic Habits. It's a good read, all right? Not necessarily Christian, but it's not bad. But we start off small. Get those habits in place so that they become routine. I think that's the great thing about the military is it gets these disciplines in your life and ingrains them to a place that it becomes part of your life, right, for the rest of your life. You can go into the secular workplace or whatever the case is, but you've developed disciplines that will serve you for the rest of your life. That is the same thing with spiritual disciplines or practices, whatever word you like there. It is getting those things into your life so that they become part of your daily life, so that they are usual, that they are often taking place in our life. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, we were there last week when we talked about the second coming, he says, rejoice always, pray continually. These are some of the shortest verses in Scripture, right? And verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. But verse 17, pray continually. Can you do that, Josh? Pray continually? I don't know. I don't think any of us can, but what is captured here is I think we have to have set times of prayer in our life, but also to have that attitude of prayer in our life that as we're going through the day, we can still be at work and all of a sudden something comes through across our desk or happens, we hear about it, we have that attitude of prayer that we're praying throughout the day and have that in mind. You following me? Yeah. So I think we can do that. All right. Some of you are very good at multitasking. I know. All right. Having a healthy prayer life involves having set times of prayer in our life, I think. So some good times are what? Morning. Whatever you qualify as morning, whether that's 5 a.m., 6 a.m., 7 a.m., 8 o'clock, whatever. Morning, it's a good time to have prayer. Another time is the evening, okay? And then also midday, you could do that, right? Those are all good times. I think there's always a good precedent there for starting your day off with prayer. I think it's always a good thing to begin your day. Just it begins your day on a good note, right? And you know that you've heard from God, you've met with Him, regardless what happens throughout the day, you know that you've connected with God, right? And spent time in your word. If to end the day, there's one thing called the daily examine. So that's what you should have got a copy of that. There's a few more up here if you did not get one on the front row. And they go to those that didn't get one, and you can hurry up and get them if you didn't get one. But they're there, and it's just a way that you can end your day. It was kind of started by St. Ignatius, kind of one of the early church fathers was what we would call him. And he would take that, the last part of your day, and you would take time to give thanks to God. You would ask the Holy Spirit, hey, what, you know, how did today go? Good and bad, right? Good, bad, and ugly, right? And you even review, and what were my failures today? What did I do well? You ask God for forgiveness and healing if there's things that you just fell short on, right? And then you ask God, you pray for the next day. And say, God, give me the grace and the strength to live tomorrow better, right? It's just a good way to kind of recap your day. And often I'll do it on my bed, got my head on my pillow, looking up at the ceiling. But I just kind of run through that, and I have found it to be very helpful as I prepare for a day. And there's the five things there: relish, request, review, repent, resolve. So if you want to remember it, what I would do is if I would just take that and fold it in half and stuff it in your Bible, tuck it in your Bible, keep it there, and have it there. But those are ways that we can develop practices in our life to help us set us up for success and healthy prayer life with God. Amen? Amen. And, you know, this is not in my notes, but if you want to do it, you need to have somebody to go on the journey with you, right? So find somebody that also wants to have a good, healthy prayer life. Probably not your spouse. You can have your spouse, but spouses are hard on you. Okay, I'm just telling you. All right? No, but find somebody, and preferably of the same sex as you, all right? And just that you hold each other accountable and that you work through this together and say, how are you doing on this, all right? Often we're afraid to make those connections, but I think you'll find out that there's other people that are in the same place as you are, and you can encourage one another. You can sharpen each other, all right? Iron sharpens iron and make each other stronger, okay? So a key to a healthy prayer life is to pray consistently. I don't know if I even said that, but that's the point. Pray consistently. That means you're just consistent, right? And you have those set patterns in your life, okay? Next one is we're going to go to Hebrews 11, 1 through 6. So jump a little bit further ahead in your Bible, in your New Testament, to Hebrews. We don't know the author of Hebrews. But I love the book of Hebrews because it ties in the Old and the New Testament together. Really helps us understand the practices of the Old Testament, the sacrificial system, how that prepared and tied in with what Christ would do. But chapter 11 is called the prayer, the Hall of Faith, or the chapter on faith. It talks about all these great people of faith. And verse 1 says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for. Okay, faith in what we hope for, confidence, the assurance of what we hope for, assurance of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, they understood the universe was formed by God, at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. So isn't that cool that God made the universe out of nothing? So Think about that whenever you come to God and think, we have to, if we're going to make something, we need something to start off with. We need materials, we need stuff, right? God doesn't need it. He, out of nothing, he spoke our universe into creation. And I think that's important because he doesn't need our help. He doesn't need our money. God is able to do. He can speak it out of existence. Okay, verse 4. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. They brought their first. See, Abel brought his first fruits. We don't see that of Cain. Abel brought what was required. It's an interesting study there. By faith, was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith, Abel still speaks even though he's dead. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life, and he did not experience death. So the verse there is that he walked with God and was not. So it's like God just took him home when it was time. Isn't that cool? Didn't have to experience death. All right? He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And so when we come to God, we have to come in faith. And that second principle is to pray confidently, right? And how often have you come to God in prayer and you already believe in your mind saying, yeah, I'm praying, but I don't know if God's going to answer it. Okay? Doubt and faith cannot be in the same room. Either you believe or you don't. And God calls us to come before him in faith with confidence that he can answer that prayer. There again, I think that comes as we develop a life of prayer. Faith is a muscle, right? If you want it to become stronger, you have to use it. And I saw when we lived, I shared about that time in Springfield, God, the move there was a step of faith. It was a huge step of faith for us. And I was managing a campground prior to that, after we had pastored in our first location. And we were at the campground, heard this guest speaker speaking to college students. He was talking about faith, and it's kind of like God was just speaking right to me, right? So if there's ever times that you feel like I'm speaking right to you, it's not that I'm speaking right to you, maybe. It's the Holy Spirit is. And God just took that message, and it's about faith. And that move to Springfield was a huge step of faith for us, a huge step of faith. But God provided for us in ways that were pretty incredible. And it's kind of like I thought, well, I'm glad I'm done with that. I never have to go through that again. It's like God said, I just gave you the muscles to believe so you can believe me for more. And so then we came to Crete to do a church plant. Yes, you need some faith there. All right. So faith is a muscle. The more you use it, the more it grows. All right. And you experienced that in your own life. So I quoted this when we prayed, Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Since we have a great high priest who's ascended into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize or empathize with our weaknesses, but he has been tempted every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Verse 16, then let us approach God's throne of grace with what? Confidence. Some translations say boldness. So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And so when we come before God, God doesn't want us to come sheepishly. He doesn't want us to come timidly. He wants us to come boldly and with confidence. And I like that word confidence because it's not that we're coming arrogantly. I think there's times people come before God and say, God, I want you to do this and this and this, but they're not coming before him with a grateful heart or a thankful heart. God calls us to come confidently and boldly before him because he is our Father in heaven. Amen? And to ask him. James chapter 5. So these are good verses to even just go back and to keep in your Bible and to refer back to them to develop your prayer life. Is anyone in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is any of you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them, anoint them with oil. That's why when we pray for sicknesses, we usually anoint with oil, just following scripture there. Verse 15, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. So there is a connection sometimes that sin can lead to sickness, okay? All right. I think just always say that sickness is tied to sin. I think I don't see that, okay? In fact, Jesus would heal a person that had been crippled from birth, and they said, well, it must be, whose sin was it? Was it the sin of the parents or whose sin, right? And Jesus said it wasn't his sin. It was so that God could be glorified. All right. Verse 17, Elijah was a human being. I love Elijah. Even as we are, yet he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Okay? So, maybe you are a great person of faith. Do you have the faith to pray to God and it doesn't rain for 3.5 years? I'm not there yet. All right? Okay? Elijah was. Man, just an incredible man. You know, he called down fire from heaven, it consumed the altar, killed the prophets of Baal and Asherah. Man. And then Elisha even did more miracles than he did. He prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced crops. I think James quotes this because the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Verse 16. If you can put that verse back up again, Chris. Verse 16. The prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. Pray with confidence. When you come before God, come expecting that God is going to answer your prayer. Okay, so there's a humorous story. I think it's humorous. Acts chapter 12. If you want to turn there, you can. And maybe just take notes about that. Acts chapter 12, but Peter is arrested. Okay, so they had arrested a few of the people. They'd killed John the Baptist. So they thought, you know, hey, that went pretty good for us, so we're going to arrest Peter. They arrest Peter, put him in prison. And it says that the church earnestly prayed for God that he would be released and that his life would be spared because they knew what happened to John the Baptist. And so the church is praying. Peter is probably praying. He doesn't want to be killed. And it says in the middle of the night, as he's there one night, an angel of the Lord appears to him. This is in verse 7. And he strikes Peter on the side, wakes him up. And he says, quick, get up, he said. And the chains fell off Peter's wrists. He put on his clothes, his sandals, verse 8. He wrapped his cloak around him. And then he followed the angel of the Lord out of the prison. He thought it was a dream, though, all right? Until he gets out into the night air and realizes, whoo, hey, this isn't a dream. All right? I'm real. I'm alive, okay? This isn't a dream. He walked the length of the street, verse 10, and the angel left him. Verse 11, then Peter came to himself and says, now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches, from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen. When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, verse 12, mother of John, also called John Mark, so John Mark's mother. There were many people that were gathered there, and they were praying. What were they praying about? They were praying for Peter's release, right? Praying. So Peter is at the door. Verse 13, Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and the servant, her name is Rhonda. She gets her name in Scripture, Rhonda. Rhoda. It's not, there's no N in there, so it's Rhoda. And she came to answer the door, and she recognized Peter's voice, and she was so overjoyed, she went back without opening the door. She just leaves him outside. She said, it's Peter! He's at the door! Verse 15, notice their great faith. You are out of your mind, Rhoda, they told her. When she kept insisting it was so, they said, it must be his angel. You notice their faith and their anticipation, right? Peter, somebody going to let me in? Verse 16, Peter kept knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. And Peter motioned with his hand to be quiet, described how the Lord had brought him out of prison, tell James' brothers, and then he went for another place. Anyway, I like that story because it's sometimes we want to pray with confidence, but we don't believe like we should, right? And when it happens, it's kind of like, whoa, God did answer that prayer, right? When we should have a little more faith and believe that God will answer it. And I think that doesn't happen overnight, folks. I think that is something that happens as we use those faith muscles that God develops that within our own life. All right. There's the last point here. Let's pray relationally. And I'm going to talk about that God is not a stone image. He's not a wood carving like some of the gods that Israel dealt with. He's our Father in heaven. We talked about that this fall. We talked about the Lord's Prayer. We did a message on that. So when you pray, you're praying to a loving and compassionate Father in heaven. So this illustration works if you have a good, loving Father. And if you don't, it's not as helpful. I'm sorry about that. But you do have a loving Father in heaven that loves you. His arms are open wide. And this is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, 5 through 13. It says, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. They say one thing, do another. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they've received their full reward. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. So notice your Father. You're praying to your Father. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling like pagans. Man, they use all the fancy words. And I hear people tell me that all the time. You know, I can't pray. I don't know all the right words. I don't think God needs to, you don't need all the right words. He senses your heart. All right? Kids, so when Nora asks for something from Grandma and Grandpa, she's just not worried about all the words. She just says, you know, she begins to express what she wants, right? I think that analogy applies for us. Yeah, you can, I know if you pray publicly, you want to be able to have your words straight. But in those private moments where you're coming before God, I think he senses your heart, your intensity, the words that you say. Those are much better than babbling words. Verse 8, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need even before you ask him. And then we go into the Lord's Prayer. This is then how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be name, holy is it. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. God is referred to as our Father. So when I talk about pray relationally, I think the idea is there that we're building a relationship with God and we're coming before our Father in heaven. We're not becoming before this force that is out there that can't be known, can't be understood. We're coming before our Father in heaven that we can know, that we can walk with. And when we develop that relationship, just like any human relationship, the more we know that person, the easier it becomes to communicate and have contact with them. That's what God wants to happen in our life. And unfortunately, for a lot of Christian people, God is a stranger. He's not our Father. Okay? And that's something that, you know, that challenges me. I hope it challenges you that we are to walk with God in a relational way. I like Luke 11. We've been in Luke a lot. But Luke 11, 9 through 13, this is after the Lord's Prayer. He says, the Lord... So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. So in the Greek, the original language here, these are continuous aspect. What does that mean? It's in keep on knocking. Keep on asking. You know, we say, man, I prayed that prayer a while back, you know, and God didn't answer it. What he is saying here is keep on knocking, keep on asking until the door is open, right? Be persistent. Kids are really good at this sometimes, right? They keep asking until mom and dad give in. That's what God is saying. Hey, keep asking until the door is open. Because everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be open. Persistent prayers. And then he goes on in verse 11 to say, which of you fathers, if your son asked for a fish or for your daughter, you'd give him a serpent instead, a snake. If he asked for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? The obvious answer is what? No. Right? Unless you're a mean one. Verse 13, if then you know you are evil, and you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God, when we come before him, he's our loving and compassionate Father. And sometimes we want the answer now, right? Anybody in that Kemp. And often God, we're focused on the short game. God is focused on the long game for our life, all right? And sometimes there's things that need to happen before God. It's not that God doesn't want to answer it. It's just not the right timing, all right? And we do that with our kids all the time, that maybe our kids need something, they want something. It's not that we don't want to get it. It's just not the right time, okay? But there's other times that we come to God and we want God to answer that prayer, and it's a good thing he doesn't answer it, because we look, get down the road, and it's kind of like, boy, I am glad God didn't answer that prayer, because that would have been a bad thing for me. And so I think there's times that God doesn't answer our prayers, and he says no. It doesn't mean we get everything we want when we come before God in prayer. And I think there's times that God says no, and we have to accept that he has our best interests in mind. Okay? God is our Father in heaven, and he wants us to succeed, to thrive, to know his peace, his joy, his strength. I think we often forfeit a lot of that because we don't begin our days in prayer. We don't engage him throughout the week, and so we carry stuff. Instead of coming before him, we're robbed of our joy, our peace, our strength in the Spirit, because we haven't spent time with him. Jesus did some pretty cool things. Man, he can make the blind see, the leprosy cleansed, the lame walk. That's pretty cool stuff. He said, greater things shall you do because I go to the Father. So, I want to hear testimonies next week. I'm saying that a little bit facetiously, but there's some truth to that, folks, that God, I believe, wants to stretch our prayer life. Well, we're praying some pretty deep prayers, and God can use you and I to pray some pretty bold prayers and to see miracles happen. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to have a master's degree. What you do have to have, you need to have a faith of a child, right, to believe. Children are great that way. They pray with faith, they believe. We try to reason everything out, right? We need to have the faith of a child and come before him. Yeah, I'm going to have the musicians come. And when I think of that, I just think of all the miracles that I've seen. I haven't seen as many, but my Minerva. How many have heard my Minerva story? Minerva, I met her once. She came to my Kiwanis group up in Harvey, North Dakota. And Bert Miller, he's a good old Catholic boy, Democrat, pro-life. And he had a clothing business in Harvey. I think his son, grandson, still manages it. But one day Bert brought Minerva to our group to share her story. And she shared her story of healing. All right? She was crippled. She was in a wheelchair. She had a crippling disease. She was probably in her 50s. But she had been crippled. Just things that were out of her control. But somebody, I don't even know who it was, but a lady, I think maybe was part of a prayer group. I don't know. Prayed for her. Simple prayer. Prayed for her healing. And she said it wasn't an immediate healing, but over the days and the weeks, God completely healed her and touched her. So she was there. She was singing. Didn't have the best voice in the world, but she sang a song. But she was there. She was completely healthy, healed. God had touched her. And I think, you know, do we come confidently before God and believe him to do the miracles that I believe that God can provide? We've had some pretty cool testimonies and healings in our church where God's answered prayer. And so let God stretch your faith this morning. Would you stand this morning? And lead us in a prayer of salvation, and then closing song. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and your Savior, it begins with a prayer, right? Saying, God, come into my heart and life. And maybe today's your day and your time. So would you join all of us here today in praying that prayer? And and just inviting Christ into your heart and life where you're watching online or here today. Let's pray together, saying, Dear God, come into my heart, into my life. Forgive me of all my sin. Be my Lord and my Savior. And walk with me each day of my life. God, as we're gathered here this morning, prayer is foundational to the Christian life, to the believer's life. And God, I pray that in each of our lives, it may look a little bit different, but I pray that we can develop that practice, that discipline within our own life, that it is more than something we check off on a checklist or to say that we've done. That's what the hypocrites did. God, that it is something that is part, that is tied deeply just to our relationship with you, that we have fellowship with you, walk with you, Lord. And in those times, Lord, we grow in you, we are guided, we find peace, we found joy, we find strength for the day. We see you answer prayers. So God, take us deeper in our walk with you. Consistent, to come before you confidently, to come before our Father who's in heaven. Give you the thanks we ask in your name. Let's pray this together. Sing this together. Amen. I just was thinking of answered prayer. One lady that attended our church, just that size of a tumor, was there one day and it wasn't the next, confirmed by the doctors. Others have reports of cancer. Was there one day, wasn't there. I was in one of my classes in the doctoral studies. Heart physician doctor came and spoke to our group. Our professor brought him in. He was part of the Board of Regents for Regent University. And we were in the room that was dedicated to his son. The story was that one day he came, it's probably part of this doctor's, probably at least not weekly, if not weekly, maybe daily, that called in on a heart patient, a guy that had had a heart attack, and went in there and he was to pronounce him dead, and there was nothing, no signs or anything there, but he just felt a check in his spirit that he was supposed to pray. And he just felt kind of awkward. He was the doctor. He was the physician. But he just kind of felt a prompt in his spirit. So he just prayed for this man. As he prayed, I don't think there was any powerful prayer, but he just prayed. Heartbeat came back. Man came back to life. And he was there. Pretty crazy. Sometime later, their son was diagnosed with a sickness disease in high school. And same guy, prayed earnestly, powerfully. God, heal our son. If he's not touched, if he's not healed, he's going to die. Fasted, they prayed. And in that case, God says, no, I'm going to take him home. Same guy, same God. One time God answered the prayer the way he wanted. The next time God says, I'm going to take him home to be with me. And then God used that for his glory and his honor. I was in a room that was dedicated to their son. So prayer, I don't always understand how it always all works. All I know is that God is our Father, and in heaven he loves us. And he wants us to come boldly and confidently. And that he can do some pretty cool things in our lives. It's just foundational to who we are and our walk with him. Amen. Father, go with your people today. Cultivate this life of prayer in our lives, wherever we're at. This is just the first step for us, or whether we're way down the road and God, you need to take us one step further. Help us to grow in our prayer life, that we can know our Father in heaven, and that we can see great and mighty things happen in our lives, but also in our world, our community. None of those things happen without prayer and seeking your face. All those things flow out of life of prayer and through answer prayer. So, Lord God, go with us this day, this week. Give you the thanks and the praise we ask in your precious name. And everybody said, praise God. Greet each other tonight, 6 o'clock. If you want to join us for some prayer, we'll be here. God bless you today.